And if you would stand with me one more time to read God's holy word. Exodus chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of the bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flag, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's pray. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you again this day. And thank you for being able to come to your house this morning. And we pray we come to see what God has to say to our hearts this morning. Lord, we honor you first and foremost, but we also want to honor the mothers that are in an assembly this morning. That you be pleased to bless them, and that they might be encouraged. And Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts. For we ask all these things in your blessed and most holy name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we will look at Moses' mother, whose name was Jochebed. And if I were to entitle my sermon, it would be Jochebed, an example of a godly mother. An example of a good and godly mother. Her name again is Jochebed, which basically means in the Hebrew, Jehovah is glory. Interesting, when you look at the story of Moses in Exodus, there's not really much that is said about Jochebed. But one thing we do know is that she was a loving mother. She was a caring mother, and no doubt she was also a compassionate mother who took interest in her children. And above all those qualities, she was also first and foremost a faithful mother. That is, a faithful mother to God, because she was faithful to her God. No doubt that Jochebed was a very interesting and impressive mother who again believed in God. And she lived by that faith. It wasn't just a tongue or lip service, but she lived her life in that faith that she proclaimed. She was a testimony to her husband. She was a testimony to her children. She was a testimony to her friends. We're told finally in chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, verse 20, her name, it says, "And Ammon took him Jochebed, his father's sister to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses." And so this is how we know her name. And the reason, again, I say that she was impressive and an interesting mother is that not so much that she was endued with natural qualities or natural talents and things like that that made her different than anybody else. No. What makes her a very interesting and a very impressive person is, or I should say, was because of that godly and holy disposition that she had. You see, she had a relationship with the living and true God. Jehovah God had saved her soul. And when God saved her soul, God gave her a new nature. God gave her a new heart. God gave her a new life. God gave her a new outlook in life. And that's exactly what he does every time he saves a sinner. He totally changes the whole aspect of our life. And she was a follower and faithful servant, again, of Jehovah God, of Yahweh. She had her godly convictions. She had her commitment. And these, we'll see, were unshakable. As I said, she had that personal relationship with God in regards to the essence of salvation. And we might ask, well, how do we know this? How do you know she was a Christian? Well, I think the Word of God very clearly implicates this, because Jochebed and her husband, Amram, are both enshrined in, well, it's called God's Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11:23, where it says, and I'll read it to you quickly, by faith Moses, when he was born, was yet 3 months of his parents, which is both his mother and his father, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. So if they're in the gracious book of faith of Hebrews chapter 11, then we need to know, and we, without a shadow of a doubt, proclaimed that she was a follower of the true and living God. And so it shows that she was a child of God. And again, she was a child of God, not, understand this month, she was not a child of God by natural generation. That is, just because she was Jewish. No, she was a child of God by supernatural regeneration. That is, she was born again into the kingdom and family of God. Please understand this, that salvation in the Old Testament and salvation in the New Testament are the same. There's not two types of salvation. Salvation has always been by grace. You know, I like what it says there in John chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. Where our Lord Jesus Christ taught very clearly that salvation is not in our name. Salvation is not in our blood lineage. Salvation is in or by the power of God. He says, or it says about him in John 1, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, notice what it says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Thus, she was a follower of Jehovah God because of what God had wrought in her heart in the grace of salvation. Now, in Exodus chapter 1, we have the background of the birth of Moses. We know by this time hundreds of years have already passed since the Hebrews had already migrated into Egypt to escape the famine that was in the land. If you recall the story of Joseph. And we are told in Exodus 12:40, and I'll read that for you also, that it was 430 years from the time that they had entered Egypt until the day they escaped, that we know the story of the Red Sea. But I'll ask you to turn to Exodus 1, and let's just read some verses in there to help us set forth the foundation for this morning. Exodus 1. And in verse 6 it says, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them and their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure city Pithom, Ramses. But the more they afflicted them and the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel, and the Egyptians make the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they make their life bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick, and all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they were made serve was with rigor. In other words, there was a new king in Egypt who knew not Joseph, and he enslaved the Hebrew people and made them work very hard. But the people grew and they multiplied. You know, if you were to look in the life of Joseph, and you would see how God in his providence, he protected him and preserved him. And in that time of that awful famine in the book of Genesis, that God preserved them and kept them. But things have changed now. And remember, Joseph was made the second highest ruler under Pharaoh. But now things have changed. And now awful misery is upon them. But God was still in control. And finally, the Exodus for his people with the birth of Moses was to begin. Before Moses was born, Pharaoh began to worry about a revolt by the Hebrew people because they thought, or he thought, that they would join forces of a foreign country and come against them. And so in order to curb this problem, Pharaoh ordered that all male infants be killed as soon as they were born. And so this kind of gives us the idea of the dangerous and alarming times in which Amram and Jochebed lived. We're told in Scripture that they had two other children, Aaron and Moses' sister, Miriam. Well, Jochebed was pregnant with Moses, and then the king, Pharaoh, set forth the decree of putting to death all the male children. In passing, I would just say that we live in an alarming and dangerous time to ourselves. Since 1973, 55 million babies have been put to death. They might try to hide it under the title called abortion, but it is murder. It is murder. It is murder. The murdering of innocent blood. And I've said this before and I say it again. There is not one American that can look and point the finger at Hitler anymore for his atrocity of putting 10, 11 million Jews and others to death. We, our country, has done worse. 55 million innocent babies put to death. Not much different than in the time of Pharaoh, where they were forced to put all and kill the male children. Notice the command of Pharaoh and the law that was implemented in force when Jochebed was pregnant in Exodus 1. Look at what it says in verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew wives, of which the name of one of them was Shiphrah, and the other one, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and seat them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king commanded them, but saved the man's children alive. In other words, Pharaoh was trying to stop the increase of the Hebrew population in a very drastic way. And so he orders the midwife to do what? To kill all the male children born to the Hebrew women. You know, we see this many centuries later also, if you recall, when King Herod sought to kill all the male children under the age of two. Why? Because he wanted to kill the baby Jesus. You go and read that in the Gospels. But as Mary, Jesus' mother, the other two godly women, Shiphrah and Puah. Shiphrah means fair and beautiful, and Puah means splendid or glittering. And both of these women, Shiphrah and Puah, had great faith in God. And they refused to follow the orders of the king. Why? Because they feared God more than any earthly king. As a matter of fact, were it not for the faith of these two women, the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ could have been severed. Think about it from that perspective. But again, at verse 17 of Exodus 1, it says, "But the midwives feared God and did not, as the king commanded, but saved the men, children, alive." And as we have said on Wednesday night, every child of God will be put in a situation where they will act upon these two phrases that guides our Christian life, our Christian walk. And that is, we will or we will not. And it kind of goes along with your message this morning, Brother Ron. And it was a good message. Thank you for your Sunday school lesson. Because everybody's brought to that situation as naming the name of Christ, where we are tempted or put in a situation that we're going to obey God or obey somebody else, that we're going to have to say we will or we will not. And so these two women were put in that situation. As a matter of fact, even Peter, if you recall in Acts chapter 5, he answered those that commanded them not to be quiet about the gospel. For they said to them, saying, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And these two women followed this principle even before it was said by Peter, because it was put in their hearts by God to follow this principle that we are to obey God rather than men. And so these two women, they made a decision with great determination, yea, with a godly, holy conviction to trust God. And that's your word, brother, to trust God in such a predicament. They decided to stand for the Lord. I ask you this morning, do you take a stand for the Lord or do you compromise? I mean, if you call yourself a Christian, if you're put in a situation, do you take a stand for the Lord or do you succumb to the pressures of life and give in? Do you trust in the Lord or do you trust in the armor of your own flesh? Do we put the Lord first in our life? Now, I'm just going to say this in passing, and you can be the own judge of it. Now, whether Shipra and Pua lied, I don't know. But you know what? That's not the real issue of the story. But whether they lied or not, I leave that up to God. And the sad thing, many skeptics, scoffers of the Bible, they come out of the closet with the other self-righteous crowd to condemn these women. But if you read, notice what it says. God blessed them and dealt with them in a good way. Not implicating or saying that lying is good or anything like that. And I'm not saying that they lied, okay? But I'm just saying it amazes me when you read people, what they say about this story. The best thing they get out of the story is this issue. Well, they lied. Well, what about their godly conviction? That they stood for the Lord and they feared God and that conviction. Notice what happened when Pharaoh found out why the Hebrew children were not being put to death. Look at verse 18 of Exodus 1. "And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing and have saved the men's children alive? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. What a time to live in. Poor mothers, huh? And fathers. But I like what it says in Proverbs 11:18. It says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Well, the desire of Pharaoh seeking to kill the children increased. But better yet, the population of the children of Israel also increased. The mandate, the decree, the commandment was set forth that all mothers and fathers to kill the newborn baby boys by throwing them into the river, which I believe was the Nile River. So what is the mother to do? How can a mother endure such cruelty for her newborn child? I can imagine all the emotions and the heart must have sickened at the thought of this wicked tyrant decree. But how could Amram and Jochebed, poor, feeble, from a hated race, resist the will of the absolute monarch of that known time, Pharaoh? Well, we read the answer already, because the answer to that question is real simple. It's two words, because again in Hebrews 11:23 it says they did it how? By faith. It was by faith. By faith they resisted the decree of Pharaoh. And no doubt that Pharaoh's decree was repulsive to Moses' parents. But more importantly, it meant really that as professing followers of Jehovah God, that if they obeyed Pharaoh, that means they would have to defy God. Oh, no. But they would not do that. They would rather defy man, which is Pharaoh, and obey God. And so their great faith in God will enable them to trust God wholeheartedly without a shadow of a doubt and overcome such indescribable fear of Pharaoh. Again, it says, if we read in Hebrews 11:23, that by faith, what did they do? They hid Moses. Because this was the child that God had given them. And the scripture says that they hid Moses for 3 months. For 3 months. Brother Daniel, how old is Olivia? 2 months? She can cry, can't she? And that's fine. That doesn't bother me. But I'm just making a point. 1, 2, 3 months, those babies, they can get very loud. So how do you hide the fact that there's a baby crying in your house when the decree has been set forth that they must be put to death? So you see the endangerment that they were in. And for 3 months, what did they do? They trusted God, Brother Ron. They believed God and obeyed God rather than man. And so by faith, they trusted their God. And I must say that with great faith, they were neither confounded, yea, confused about the matter, because they were going to trust God. In other words, their eyes were fixed upon God. They willfully, knowing, disobeyed Pharaoh's wicked command. Why? Because by faith, they were going to obey and trust God. And so they were not going to be afraid of the consequences for their stand. Again, as we saw Wednesday night, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by faith they believed in God, and they told King Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow down to your golden image. Why? Because they serve the living and true God. And so they would rather trust God than trust man. So what did Jochebed do as a godly mother? She obeyed God. She obeyed the God of heaven over the law and decree of the king of Egypt. She trusted in the sovereign king of the universe. And so now begins the account of the birth of Moses. And we've already established the point that she was a follower of God, a follower of Jehovah, Yahweh. She trusted in God. She trusted on God. And as we said, her name Jochebed means Yahweh is glorious, or God is glorious. God is glory. And so no question that her heart was fixed upon Yahweh. Jehovah was glorious. She had heard and she had seen the glorious works of God. And no doubt that helped her trust Him in this enduring trial, this awful crisis in their life. She believed in her heart that the glorious God of heaven would deliver them. As a matter of fact, if you were to read through the Psalms, you would hear the sweet psalmist of Israel always speaking about the glorious God. He says in Psalm 66, sing forth the honor of His name, make His name glorious. Psalm 72, and blessed be His glorious name. Let the whole earth be filled with His glory. There's so many verses. We'll look at a couple more in Psalm 145, 3 and 5. It says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. I will speak of His glorious honor and majesty. Yes, our great God is a glorious God, a great God, yea, a good God. Amen and amen. And Jochebed knew this glorious God. Just like I do this morning. And if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you also know this glorious God. Let's just understand that God was not more glorious back then or less glorious in Jochebed's time. Oh, no. He has always been and forever be glorious. No matter what time era we live in. As a matter of fact, if you recall, no sooner had they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground and saw Pharaoh's army destroyed and Pharaoh in that Red Sea, did they sing the song of Moses. And there in Exodus 15, what does it say? Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, had dashed in pieces the enemy. Exodus 15:11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders? And I can just see Jochebed leading the choir in this glorious song of Moses in Exodus 15. And so no question in the heart of this godly mother, Jochebed, that she believed in the living and true God and trusted in that God. And that she could truly say, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the God? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And because she believed this, she could trust Him. She could trust her God as a mother in those dangerous and trying times in which she lived. And then in Exodus 2, it says, and there went, Exodus 2, 1 and 2, it says, and there went out a man of the house of Levi and took a wife of the daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived, bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. We're not told what Jochebed and Aram named their baby. Of course, we know that the baby's name was Moses, but we also understand that it was Pharaoh's daughter that named him Moses, because the name Moses means what? That he was drawn out of the water. But what we do know is that by faith, again, she trusted in God. She trusted God to take care of her son, which no doubt it is one of the hardest things to do as a parent, to trust God regarding our children. But no doubt, it is the best thing any parent can do that follows God is to trust God regarding our children. Again, Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw him a proper child, and they were not, by faith, they were not afraid of the king's commandments. And then verse 3, we're told of Exodus 2, when they could not hide him any longer, when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and pitch, put the child therein, laid in the flags by the river's brink. Wow. What a godly mother. Here you have a godly mother that's concerned for her son. And she knows that this baby's crying too much, making too much noise, that perhaps those parents that were ungodly and obeyed the king and went and put their male children that were born into the river now, maybe they might just squeal on her. Well, Jochebed didn't do it. And so what is she to do? Trust God. Trust God. But she was concerned about her son. She was concerned about her son. She conceived her son, and now, excuse me, she conceived her son, and now she was going to conceal her son. Because after 3 months, she could no longer hide him. And again, I like to ask the question, what made her think? What made Jochebed think that sending Moses into the river in a little ark would keep him out of danger or harm's way? Think about it there for a moment. I mean, I know that there's large crocodiles in the Nile. I know that there's large poisonous snakes in the river. And it was the same river where many parents had already thrown their children as Pharaoh had commanded. I mean, I wouldn't even like when my children would stand at the edge of a pool. You know? They might fall in and drown. And here she is. She's going to put her little 3-month-old baby in a little ark in the River Nile? How can she do that? By faith. By faith. What would keep him safe and alive? Her trust and belief in God. And no doubt, faith is a necessary grace for mothers. Because by faith, we are to entrust our children unto God. We are to entrust Him. We are to trust Him, to believe Him, to hope in Him regarding our children. But why would she put Him in the little basket or little ark? I'll give you my 2 cents in the matter, and I might just be as wrong, but could it be that maybe she remembered the story of Noah? Maybe she remembered the story of Noah's ark and how God preserved him and his family. And maybe she said in her heart, well, if God did it for Noah, can he not do it for me? Amen. See, that's faith. See, sometimes we don't think like that. We just look at God did this for that person, but he's not do it for me. Well, why not? He's God. Ye have not because ye ask not. How do you know? That's faith. And so God, somehow, some way, revealed to Jochebed and her husband to trust God, trust Him regarding their son, Moses. They knew something about Moses that it was special. Whether they knew that he was going to be the deliverer or not, that I don't know. But they knew that there was something different about this child. And so they were moved by faith to trust God in such a way. And I'll be the first one to say, maybe my faith not as big as they are, but I cannot imagine putting my 3-month-old child in a small ark and put him in the river. Amy and Daniel, can you imagine doing that with Olivia? Put a little baby in an ark and just send him down the River Nile? Wow. That is great faith. Great faith. Again, it says in Exodus 2, verses 1 and 2, and then when a man out of the house of Levi took a wife, the daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived, bare a son, which is Moses, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she'd hidden him 3 months. Hebrews 11:23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and were not afraid of the king's commandment. I want you to turn also to the book of the Acts. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is given a historical account of the Hebrew children. And notice what it says in the book of the Acts. And I would call this Stephen's apology before the Jews. He was an apologist defending the faith in his glorious sermon against the Jews. Look what it says at verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. They dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughters took him up, nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Talk about the providence of God. There you have it. But again, in verse 20, it says so clearly, in which time when Moses was born, he was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And so the Bible says he was a goodly child, a proper child, an exceeding fair child. In other words, there was something special about this baby that was perhaps different than Marian and different than Aaron. And so God had revealed unto them something. And so by faith, they reacted upon that special revelation by God and trusted God. And this is why they believed God and put this 3-month-old baby to preserve her in, serve him, Moses, in the ark when he was put into the river. Why? Because they believed God had his hand upon this baby boy. See, when we're in severe circumstances, God would give us that grace, because sometimes we fear. We fear. You know? I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but what if we get to the future where they're going to outlaw Christianity and take the Bibles away from America, and they put a gun in my head, tell me to renounce Christ, and I don't. And then maybe they put a gun in my wife's head, my children, my children's children. I would like to think what I would do, but I don't know what I would do. I would like to say I will stand firm and not deny. I think I can do that for my own self. But when I see a gun upon my children, my grandchildren, see, I don't have that grace now. I don't know. But I believe if I'm never put in that situation, that God will grace me. Amen. To make the right decision. And this is with Aaron and Jochebed. God endowed them and graced them with this particular grace to help them trust God at that particular moment. And so they trusted God. They believed Him. And I'm sure that during those 3 months, I know they were constantly talking one with another, as husband and wife do. And I'm sure they prayed about it. You know, seeking God to give them some guides them, leads them, understand regarding their son, how are they going to protect Moses? And it could be as they were talking and praying about it, that maybe when the idea came about the little ark. Again, you remember how God took care of Noah? Well, maybe he can do the same for me. I can imagine. I can see Jochebed going to her husband and saying, honey, I have a plan for you. Why don't you get some wood, some reeds, some pitch. We're going to build ourselves a little mini ark. And it was by the look of Jochebed that the husband knew this was the top of the honey-do list. Huh? Everything else going second, but this one we need to do. Honey, your wife knows something about that, right? No? Oh, my. All right. Well, amen. Anyway, well, that became the top honey-do list for the daddy. And so they make a little ark. And I can just see them praying over the baby, laying their hands in the basket, laying their hands upon the baby, and then just, as you said, brother, releasing that baby into God's care, into God's keeping. And God honored their faith. Jochebed conceived Moses. Jochebed concealed Moses. Jochebed now commits Moses to God. Jochebed commits her baby boy to the Lord, and she placed him into this tiny basket or ark and sent him away again into one of the largest rivers in the world. And in her demonstration of faith, she placed a 8-month-old baby in the ark, knowing full well, consciously believing God. Talk about putting all your trust or all your faith in a basket. Yes, they did. They put all their faith and trust and hope in God. She knew, Jochebed knew that as a mother, she knew in the depth of her heart that she did not possess the power to keep this boy safe. She knew she kept him in the house. It would only bring sure death for Moses sooner or later, as the authorities would finally know, because as I said, some godless parents would finally turn them in. So there was danger everywhere. And amazing, the same river that was the instrument of the death of many baby boys would be the instrument of Moses' life as he was put in the ark by faith in the river. And so Jochebed, as the mother and the father, Aram, commit Moses into the hands of God. And he floats down the river. Again, Exodus 2:3 says, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. As this little ark goes down the river, there's three things I have to believe wholeheartedly concerning God. As baby Moses goes down the river, three specific things I see. I see, number one, the providence of God. Secondly, I see the prevenient grace of God in keeping him safe. And then thirdly, I see the preservation of God as this little baby is put into this ark. Again, in Exodus 2, verse 4, and his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to watch herself at the river, and her maiden walked along the riverside, and she saw the ark among the flag. She sent her maid to fetch it, and when she had opened it, she saw a child, and behold, the babe wept. And Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on him. And she understood, and she knew that what? That this was a Hebrew child. So the question is, again, was it by pure chance? Was it good karma on Moses? I mean, was it good luck? That of all the places that he can go on the river Nile, that he would wind up at the back door of Pharaoh's daughter's palace. Is that what you think? Shame of you. You believe that. No, it was the providence of God. God was very much involved. His hand was upon that ark, and he guided that ark directly to Pharaoh's daughter's palace. And we ask the question too. I mean, was it by accident? The timing that she decides to come down to wash herself at that particular place and at that particular time? No. Again, God's hand was involved in all that activity. Well, no question, we know that little Moses stole the heart of the royal princes of Pharaoh in that very critical and significant moment. Look at verse 6, it says, and when she had opened it, she saw the child and the babe wept, and she had compassion on him. How amazing. Knowing that this was a Hebrew child, yet she had compassion on him. Because even the tears of that providential baby were not shed in vain. Moses' crying stirred the compassion of Pharaoh's daughter toward him. She could have easily just tipped the whole thing over and thrown it into the river. She knew the decree over that. But God preserved that little baby boy. Not only did she keep the baby, but she brought him into the palace and raised him up as her own royal son. Wow. Well, that's not even half of what happened in the story. You see, God did not forget the fate of a particular mother. God did not forget the fate of Jochebed. Well, since back then, there was no baby formula. There was no Walmart. There was no HEB. There was no Walgreens to run to and buy some little formula for the baby. So they had to find a nurse or a woman to nurse the poor crying baby. And again, the providence of God at verse 7. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go! And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. I find that so amazing. You know, when you think about it. And as only as the true and living God can do, he brought Moses back into the arms of his loving mother. Brought him back to his real mom. But better yet, cool, glory, better yet was the fact that mama, listen to this, Amy, mama was going to get paid to nurse her baby. Cool. Can you believe that? She was going to get paid to nurse her own baby. Man, how glorious is that? Cool, I like that. Amazing. I love that. I mean, I can just see Jochebed. See Moses and just kissing him constantly and hugging him. Oh, what a blessing. I mean, I don't know about you parents. Have you ever lost one of your children or whatever for a little while? And you know, the panic. I mean, and then you find them and man, you run to them and you hug them. Because you almost want to kill them, you know, at that point. You almost want You know, because you get so angry and you know, or whatever, but then you finally see him, you can't. You just hug him and kiss him and love him. You don't want to let him go because you were so afraid you had lost him. But can you imagine how Jochebed must have felt? I can just see her after putting the baby in the in the river, and she goes home to her husband, and not even her husband could comfort her heart. I can just see her weeping and weeping and weeping, pouring out her heart before God, as only a mother can do. But then God, by grace and mercy, brings the baby back to her. How glorious is that? How glorious to get paid to nurse your own baby. And so God rewarded Jochebed's faith. Jochebed is living proof of this. And so by faith, Jochebed conceived Moses. She concealed Moses. She committed Moses to God. And lastly, but not least, she also cultivated Moses. Or if you wish, cultured Moses. We have no idea as to the length of time Jochebed nursed and spiritually nurtured him. But it was common back then for mothers to nurse their children from anywhere from age 2 to about age 5. In other words, Jochebed knew in her heart that she only had a limited time to teach and share him about the great God of heaven. In the true sense of the word, she knew she only had a limited time. Young mother, you only have a limited time with your children. And I know, my wife and I have 3 children. I know at times they can get pretty rough. But they're young, only one. You can never go back to them when they were young. So even in all the troubles and problems and complaints and everything, take advantage of that time, because it's only short. They will get big quickly. My baby girl, 30 years old, my goodness, they get big so quick. My. So you only have them for a little time. You only have them for a limited amount of time to teach them, to share them about the things of God, about the Bible. You only have a limited time with your children to teach them about God, about His grace, about His mercy, about salvation, about His love, about His salvation again for sinners, and about, of course, the Word of God. Because if you do not teach your children these things, I can assure you, the world will teach your children for you. You have a limited time to instruct your children in the things of God, to help them hopefully one day become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, or else they will become followers of a godly society who hates God and promotes the devil. If you don't teach your children, mothers, somebody else will. And so before Moses would go to live in the palace, Jochebed would teach and instill into his heart and into his mind great truth, teaching Moses about creation, about the fall, about Abel, Enoch, Noah, the flood, the Tower of Babylon, the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob, the story of Joseph, and so forth. She would teach the children about God, the Bible, the history. In other words, she cultivated him. She cultivated his mindset regarding the things of God. She cultured him with the truths of God and his people. And don't be foolish, my dear ones, to believe that Moses could not remember these things. Let me tell you something so you'll understand that children at age 3 and 4 have the highest retention level that they'll ever have in their life. So don't think for a moment that they don't listen to you. And you'll only have them for a short time. For a short time. This is one of the reasons that I enjoy singing songs from the Bible. Nothing thrills my heart when I see little children singing the Word of God. A glorious way to memorize the Scriptures. She would teach Moses why they were enslaved by Pharaoh and why they were held in bondage. And no doubt that Jochebed in the early life of Moses planted those seeds of God in his heart and mind. And these seeds would one day sprout into greatness. Well, sadly, that one day finally came as we conclude. The news that she feared and dreaded . The orders arrived at the house of Jochebed that Moses would be finally be moved into the palace of the king. I can imagine her crying her eyes out. It was a sad day in her life when she saw those chariots come and escort Moses away. But yet, the mama of Moses knew that God had a plan for her son and that the word of God never returns void. Of course, little did she know, little did Jochebed know that her own son would be writing this very same story about her. Yea, that her own son would write the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Yes, I believe she knew that her son was special. Jochebed's fate followed Moses all the days of his life. And oh, to God that our fate would follow our children all the days of their life. I read where an old pastor said, when mama died, I was sad. Because as long as my mama lived, I knew that there would be at least 2. I don't have my mama. And no, some of you don't have your mom. Either. But he said, I knew there would be at least 1 person on earth praying for me every single day. I'm cool. No doubt that Moses was blessed with a godly praying mother who prayed for Moses every day of his life. I went to go see the movie Water Diviner. The true story, maybe 1-2 things that were not good, but it was touching. When this man looking for his big sons that were in the battle of the war, it's a true story. And when they show that the children were dying in war, of the 3, there were still 2 alive. And they're holding hands. And the one that's dying, he says, I want my mama. That just hurt me. I thought, how many people at war, they've gone to battles and they're dying, soldiers dying, and they're dying, and they say, I want my mom. I want my mom. Oh, you young teenagers now, you might think your mamas are mean and rude, but one day you're going to say, I want my mama. There's something special about mamas. And so mothers, I know that sometimes you feel that you're not special. Excuse me. I lost my mother when I was 18. I'd give anything to have her. And so, mama, I know that sometimes you feel that you're not special. You might say, oh, I'm not that important. And you might say, well, God's not going to use me. I'm not going to be a preacher. I'm not going to be a missionary. I mean, or anything. But let me just tell you this. If you are a mother, you have the highest calling that can be given to any lady. The high calling of motherhood. You have the privilege that nobody else has, because you have the privilege to instill into your own children, to instruct your children in the ways of God. And more importantly, that you can pray for your children every single day. And I know that God takes special interest in that. And mothers, remember, your children are your mission field. So what a glorious high calling to be a mother. What privilege, what honor to teach and instruct your children in the ways of God. And as I said before, I believe it is mothers that cultivate the character of children. And I believe it's the fathers that cultivate the conviction of children. In other words, when you see wimpy boys and wimpy men that have no backbone, because that was their dad. No conviction. Mothers build the character of the child, and I believe fathers build that conviction. So Father's Day, yeah, conviction. I already got my sermon for Father's Day, huh? Amen. Oh, preach it now? Come on. But yes, very important for a child. Character and conviction. And those that are still young, bringing babies into the world, very, very important. Not a light thing. So there's nothing more glorious than being a mother, yea, a godly mother. And so may God help you to be the mother that He wants you to be. And I have a poem that I've written years ago that I want to share to you, or with you, entitled it, Happy Mother's Day. Children are an heritage of the Lord. We thank our God and look to His Word. His wisdom and instruction is truly a must. We need His guidance, so in God we trust. Mothers bring children into the world. They're more precious than any pearl. Children are a gift from God. We confess what a miracle He has wrought. We take them home from the hospital, what a joy, knowing that God has given us a little girl or a boy. They keep us up at night and we get little sleep, but what a joy to know they're ours to keep. What a bond is formed between mother and baby, hoping they'll grow up to be a fine young man or lovely lady. We are excited when we see them take their first step. We take those pictures so memories are kept. Mothers are wipers of noses and watchers of ears. Mothers pick them up when they fall and wipe their tears. Finders of shoes, toys, clothes, and hats. Mediators, peacemakers, and referees, bats. Mothers train their heart from the Bible, because that is the goal. We have the promise they will not depart when old. They finally graduate, and it seems so fast. In our hearts, we thought it would forever last. We have sought to raise them in God's holy word. We pray that they would believe and follow the Lord, and the salvation would be wrought in the heart, that they would persevere to the end and never depart. God ordained from creation to birth children by mothers, and that man would be the leaders and fathers. God's instruction to us is to be fruitful and multiply. As we see our children born, most of us do cry. No, it does not take a village for children to be raised. God ordained that mothers would bring up children under His grace. So for what all you have done, we wish you today that God would bless you with a happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Glory to God and Heavenly Father, we thank You again this day. And we ask You blessings upon the mothers this day. For they have a great high calling, and with that high calling comes tremendous responsibility. And so God, we pray that You would remind us of the importance of nurturing our children in the admonition of the Lord. And so, God, we pray that you would bless all those who are mothers this morning. We thank you again for the blessed testimony in thy word and for the testimony of Jochebed of being a godly mother. May mothers emulate that special heart. And thus we ask these things in the blessed and holy name. Amen.